There's nothing like a minus 30 wind chill to get our attention, is there? Or maybe to make us appreciate the blessing of warmth, a warm room, even without Wi-Fi. Of course, the Lord could and did get our attention, and He could get our attention even in a warm Mediterranean climate. He sent a star to the wise men, an angel to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And in Acts 10, He sends a vision to Peter and another vision to Cornelius, a Roman centurion stationed in Caesarea. Cornelius had already heard about Jesus before Peter was summoned from Joppa to speak to him. But Cornelius needed to hear about Jesus' resurrection from one who had witnessed Jesus alive after his crucifixion. And as he speaks to the group assembled in Cornelius' house, Peter says that God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This is often the way our Savior God works, isn't it? It was that way when Jesus was born too. The angels were not sent to all the people in Bethlehem or all the people in Jerusalem. They were not even sent to the religious leaders in the temple or to the political military leaders in the palace. But a few shepherds were privileged to witness the miracle of the Word made flesh, the incarnation of the Christ of God. They became witnesses to many others, to you and to me, through the written record of their testimony, all that they heard and saw. Similarly, the wise men were also a small minority when they came to Jerusalem seeking Jesus. If they had been powerful rulers with a great entourage, Herod would probably have courted their favor by accompanying them to Bethlehem instead of sending them on their way all alone. But God took a few nearby shepherds and a few far-off scholars and made them witnesses to His glorious grace. So also He took a few fishermen and a few others, mostly from little backwoods Galilee, and He made them witnesses to the world of His resurrection. Through them the message went out, He was delivered over to death on account of our sins and was raised to life on account of our justification. Peter, one of those fishermen, brought his testimony to that centurion of the Italian band in a city named after Caesar. And through the written word, his testimony comes also to us. We too are small in the world, aren't we? In the last 52 years, our ILC enrollment has about doubled to less than 150. Yet to us has been entrusted that word of witness that through the centuries has brought good news to so many poor souls, freedom to so many prisoners, sight to so many blind eyes, blessed relief to so many oppressed people. This is the witness that has made each year new and filled it with God's favor. What is it that makes so few witnesses so powerful? Not that they were shepherds or scholars or fishermen or even students, teachers, or staff of a small Midwestern college. But God made them and you witnesses of His grace in Jesus by His Word, and through you shows His grace to many people. That day in Caesarea, the sun did not go down until everyone in the room with Peter had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. So powerful is His Word that it does not need to come from great crowds of people or from the mighty people of this world. But as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word, says God, that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You are His witnesses. Hymn 510, the first two stanzas.